This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Coach Ed Lamb joining us in studio, hanging out with us for the day. It's where we do buy or sell. And I think I know your opinion on this one, but I had it set to ask anyway. The UNC Bears, on the basketball side of things, it has been a rough go since starting Big Sky Conference play. I believe they're 1-5 now in the conference. Buy or sell, the Bears are cooked, Coach.
I'm not buying. So I'm
you
threw me off there. I'm selling the opinion that the Bears are cooked.
Yep.
If the Bears are a stock, I'm buying now.
You're buying now.
Buy while it's low. If we're betting, I'm backing the Bears.
You're backing the Bears. Michael, are you in the same boat back there?
I'm selling that. I don't think they're cooked. It's early.
I do think I'm selling it as well. I do think the Bears are too good to be losing some of these games. And I think, hey, at the end of the day, they're still going to be in the tournament. And no matter how the season looks, all it takes is to get hot for, you know, three or four days, and bam.
Competent coaching staff, a team that's already shown what they're capable of doing against high-level competition. There's no significant injuries right now. Shots aren't falling. That's fixable.
Buy or sell this one, Coach. The drop-off from Bo Nix to Jared Stidham is significant. Are you buying that there's a major drop-off there between the two quarterbacks?
I am not buying drop-off. There's a major difference. And I think that could lead to a drop-off in production, if I'm allowed to categorize my answer there.
So in that kind of same, in the same vein here, you still, if you liked the Broncos' chances before Bo Nix, you don't necessarily hate the Broncos' chances now going into this game against the Patriots?
I think it's a real challenge to overcome. I'm almost pulling for the third quarterback to come in so he could duplicate
really?
Some of the same type of play timing and success that Bo Nix had.
All right. Last one for you, too, on the college football side of things. Well, sorry, Mike. Yeah, buy or sell. Well, I already know where you're going to go.
Well, I was going to say, I like what Coach had to say. That was great analysis. So, Coach, I'm going to steal what you said and pretend that it was my brain.
Michael's going to pick the Broncos to win if it were me at quarterback, Coach. I mean, seriously.
The Broncos are going to win.
Yeah, if it were announced today that there was no other person that could possibly stand up and be the quarterback and it was me, Michael would still say he believes the Broncos are going to win.
That's a true fan. Every coach appreciates that.
Die hard.
Yeah, some people appreciate it. Buy or sell. College football playoffs will eventually go to a 24-team format.
Yeah,
you're going to buy it?
That will happen.
How soon do you think that will happen? Like within next year even? Or are we talking a couple years down the road?
No basis to answer that. I can tell you that I saw the FCS playoff expansion while I was coaching in FCS football, mostly during my time at Southern Utah. And I can tell you what seemed like a long way off turned into about a six-year expansion from, I think it was 16 to 20 to 24.
All right, there it is. Great job.
Yeah.
Yeah, buy or sell for you there, Mike. How about you?
I was going to say, especially if they listen to my solution, 24 is probably going to be a part of my solution. So 5 years. 5 years, I think.
What is this mysterious solution that you have? You've been telling me for months that you have figured out the formula to fix college football, and I have yet to see it.
Well, I haven't figured it out. I haven't fully put it together.
He thinks he has this monster plan.
Figuring it out.
I thought his mysterious solution was like a hair product thing. I had no idea he was talking
could
about
be that.
College football.
It honestly could be, hey, we want guys to have really nice hair out there or something. I have no idea. He keeps bragging about this solution, saying that it's going to fix college football. And I ask him maybe 3 or 4 times a week for it, and he just says he's working on it. But I've literally never seen him working on it.
Sounds like a manifesto.
I'm doing, it could be a manifesto. It's a Micah-festo.
Yeah.
I'm I'm.
No,
I saw your face,
no.
Brady. You hated that.
No, I. It just. Don't you have Star Trek to watch or something? Isn't there a late
episode
of Star Trek?
That episode did come out last Thursday. I have not seen it yet, and new one this Thursday.
Coach,
you can find it on Paramount Plus.
Did you know Star Wars is way more intelligent than anything Star Trek could put out? I mean,
it depends on the. It depends on some of the shows. Yeah, some of the Star Trek shows are
Star Wars
really
is just
stupid.
Smarter. It's just smarter. The lasers and the swords that they have. I love that stuff. It's so good. Star Trek though. Mm-mm. Storylines are terrible.
Based off of science, Star
I have
Wars
no basis for an opinion.
Off of magic.
Star Trek is magic, Mike. What are you talking? It's the same thing. Star Trek, Star Wars, same thing, right? Basically,
how dare you?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. UNC head football coach joining us in studio today. You can see it's a glimpse into what I go through every single day. You've gotten to know Michael a little bit more today, and you are going to walk out of here a changed man. I don't know if that's for the better, Coach, so I do apologize.
I'm feeling that already. There are no alliances right here.
No, we would be opposite. We would not form an alliance if we were on Survivor. It would not probably be happening.
I really like Micah.
Mm-hmm. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Faith texting in on the Bears stuff. We have 24 hope it fixes these long gaps of time between games. The Bears played last night, of course, lost to Montana State. But I do kind of feel the same way, and I'm not just saying that because we have a Bear in here. I did wear my UNC Bear socks, by the way, Coach, because I knew you were coming in.
Nice.
So
representing.
Dressed for the occasion. There's something about it. For some reason, I really do feel like the Bears will still be in the thick of it when we're talking Big Sky Conference tournament here in about less than 2 months.
Sure, yeah. Well, they have the capability that the death knell for college sports, because the players are so influenced by social media and public perception, is like if the public starts to turn on the coach. Coach Smiley and his staff, clearly competent. They've got credibility. They've got a Big Sky Championship under their belt just last season. I mean, those players know what their coach is capable of, and those coaches are player development coaches, and so they're believing in the players. Until there's a lack of belief, there's no danger for this season going south. I mean, it's not going the direction they want, but all of the pieces are in place to turn it around.
And they got Northern Arizona coming up, and that game does feel pretty important. Northern Arizona at the bottom of the barrel right now in the Big Sky. But the Big Sky Conference, we talked about on the football side, certainly on the basketball side too, extremely competitive. Some very good teams year in and year out. And it does feel like this is one of those years where on any given night, there's a good Big Sky basketball team.
And on the basketball side, I think there's much more parity. On the football side, it's a premier conference at our level of football, maybe probably the premier conference at our level of football. So there's huge disparity between the top and the bottom of the Big Sky Conference in football. But in basketball, that has proven to kind of flip in season from season to season. There are a lot of teams that have every opportunity to win the Big Sky Basketball Championship.
Head coach Ed Lamb in studio. Okay, I kind of have a loaded question here for you.
All right.
It's on the college football stuff. What do you think is the biggest issue? And do we want to say college athletics, or do we want to just narrow it down to college football today? What do you think the biggest issue is right now?
The issue that I'm paying the most attention to is the detrimental side, personally, for the players that aren't successful in the portal. Either they're missing out on opportunities, they're not picking up another team, they're retarding their growth within programs. You know, it's not a good habit to get into that when you're not happy somewhere or you're not exactly, you don't think you're being treated right, you leave. I don't know if that's setting young people during a developmental stage of their lives. I don't know if that's setting them up for success. So I would like to see some changes to the way that the portal works, or information that's available to the players, or even the idea of making these players employees so that you can contract with them for a multi-year period so that they don't have the ability to leave. They don't have to contract. They don't have to say yes to the contract. But we as coaches could say, look, my philosophy is during this developmental stage of your life, you need to stay in a place. Here or somewhere else is your choice, but if it's going to be here, here's how long you're staying, and here's the penalty you would pay if you leave.
Don't you think we're going to get to that pretty soon, where there's like a minimum 2-year contract or something?
I think it's
similar.
Absolutely coming. You've already seen some of the, like on the NIL side, schools and NIL collectives asking for the money back. So you're starting to see some of that. And I think it's just it probably comes down to a school like UNC to lead the way on that, because we don't often get in recruiting battles. We're the ones who are kind of picking guys up from beating the bushes, so to speak, and believing in them when nobody else believes in them. And so I think a lot of the guys that we do recruit might be amenable to that type of situation.
Yeah, when you obviously with the Washington quarterback story, the Damon Williams story, that one was really unique too, because that was an NIL contract. I actually read the post from the attorney that picked his case up, that picked up Damon Williams. Blanking out on his name right now, but he put a LinkedIn post up. It was a very long, thought out post, and what I summarized in that post was basically like, we could fight this, we could potentially win, and you know, get out of this contract, but by the time we're done with all of this, teams are going to already have their quarterback. Damon Williams is going to not be at Washington. He's going to have to go somewhere else and not necessarily up. So to me, it felt like, yeah, there's a lot of language in this contract we could beat, but at what cost? Do we really want to sacrifice your college football playing career while trying to fight this? And that's what I kind of gathered from it.
Yeah, and there's a great example that all of those dynamics, that situation, the way it played out, that is not in the best interest of that young man.
Yeah,
and so
I agree.
As the adults in the room, we need to offer some structure. That's the very point of having a governing body, to the whether it's the NCAA or the conference or whatever. And I would just like to see us move away from so many players getting the raw end of the deal in the portal.
Coach, you have an extensive football resume. Recently, BYU, Southern Utah, and what your success was like there. How bad? I just got to ask this. How bad is the tampering situation? How bad is that stuff?
Well, yeah, it's going on everywhere at all times. And the different channels that it happens, whether it's high school coaches or agents or somebody like that, that's kind of operating as an in-between, a go-between, that is going on. I said to you a couple of months ago, we were talking, and I said I would like to see them just remove the tampering rule, because I think all of the workarounds are putting players in a bad position where there's been tampering. We just went through one. We signed a player, and then another university reached out to that same player and said, hey, if you can get out of that signing, we've got a spot for you. Well, I got right on the phone with their staff. I know a lot of their people, and said, what's going on? Oh, shoot, that was just a recruiting assistant type. That's what their reasoning was. Turns out it was just a recruiting assistant. And so this, had we said to this player, which some schools will do, they'll say, yeah, if you don't want to be here, I don't want you. But I knew that something was fishy here, and I was telling the player, look, that doesn't seem right. They don't really do it that way in the business. That's too out in the open for them to say it that way.
Right.
I think you might be talking to somebody that's not a committable offer that you're getting. And it turns out that was the case. And so, you know, everything's worked out and back in order. But these recruiting staffs, at the time I left BYU, from the time I started out there, we had zero recruiting assistants. And at the time I left, we had 9 recruiting assistants. These are just students, part-time workers, low-wage hourly workers in some cases, a salaried guy kind of overseeing them. But that's changed the business dramatically, that all these people have the ability to reach out as quote-unquote recruiters or scouts.
That's fascinating, too. I mean, because again, when guys are entering, and if the player doesn't utilize the people around him, like in this case for your player, that's like bringing this to you, like, coach, what's going on? What do you make of this? Some guys won't necessarily go that route. Some guys will, to my understanding, I mean, you always hear he's getting bad advice. They see that as, yeah, I'm in. Okay, great. There's money there. And it's not the coach that's offering that. It's not the athletic director that's offering that. It's not even an agent that's offering that. It's some recruiting. And it can, in some cases, it can even go further out externally. It could be just a guy in the know that says, hey, I have it on good authority. If you enter that portal, you're going to get $600,000 or something along those lines. And if that student athlete just says, I'm going for it, heck with it, $600,000 is better than what I'm doing right now, they enter that portal and, oops, never mind, we don't have a spot for you. Sorry.
There are a lot of coaches I'm aware of and actually have spoken with them they are including the value of the scholarship in the money offering.
Hmm.
They're not distinguishing on paper or verbally the difference. And so you take a scholarship to UNC over a 5-year period, you know, that's going to be worth $150,000, let's say. And then if you add a little bit of NIL money or revenue share money on top of that, it's easy to say we've got $200,000 for you.
Yeah.
A lot of these players think they're going somewhere for and are going to get a $200,000 check. It's just a scholarship with a little bit of extra money every month tacked onto that. And then the other thing that coaches are doing, they're only signing kids. They're putting all of the monetary value. So they're telling a kid what the annual salary will be, but they're only contracting them for the season. So, for example, you take $120,000. That's $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
But the contract that they sign is actually only for $40,000. It's just the fall season.
Wow.
But they're telling them it's $120,000 salary. I mean, there are so many crooks in college football right now, and the governing bodies are running scared of saying, look, this is what a contract should look like. We actually got rid of, the NCAA got rid of the national letter of intent because there are bully coaches at the highest level that are pushing these kind of narratives where they want to fool the kids. It's criminal right now what's going on.
Now, I heard former LSU coach Ed Orgeron say, hey, it used to be we were giving guys a bag of cash through the back door.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're just giving them a bag of cash through the front door. And in this case, in many cases, we're giving them a bag of cash, but not necessarily the bag of cash that we said we were going to give them.
Right. And you look at these coaches and we've done over the course of our careers or our personal lives, right? We've signed thousands of contracts. We've made thousands of offers and come to agreements or disagreements. A lot of these players, it's their first time ever talking about a business deal, a business decision. And it's really in a bad place. Football's in a bad place right now. Not for the ones that you see. When you watch the national championship game last night, those players are all really well taken care of. They're making a lot of money. Those schools have a lot of resources, and they're pouring it in. They got Mark Cubans and people like that. But most of the college football players right now are making far less than they were promised. They're being bamboozled in the whole recruiting and portal process, and it's a major problem right now that we have to fix.
Texter says, per the NCAA, is it considered tampering if it's coming from an agent or is it just tampering if it's coming from the coaching staff?
Yeah, it's just the coaching staff. Agents can do whatever they want.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I've always brought this point up. What's to stop a random person who might be tied? Like, for example, this isn't happening, but you and I have developed a really good relationship. Yeah. I might know certain players. I might do radio shows with certain players. What's to stop that person from saying, you know, talking to that player and then going to a school randomly and having a discussion with that school, and the school tells this in-between person who's not an agent, who's not working for the school, basically, yeah, we would take that dude if he entered the portal. And then that person comes in and says, hey, Billy Bob, I know they'd take you if you entered that portal. I mean, what's to stop that kind of stuff from happening?
Well, there is language. As a coach, my coach is all – no coach should be having a recruiting conversation with anyone that has any connection to any player that's currently not in the portal. So that is considered tampering. Again, the agent can go try to have whatever conversations he wants, but the onus is on me. The responsibility is on me as the coach to say, oh, wait a minute, that's your nephew, or that's he goes to your church, whatever. Once I find out the connection, I'm not allowed to have recruiting conversations about that player with that person.
Wow. But you can see how easy it would be to kind of sneak that around too, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
If you're very subtle about it too, it's like, hey, I don't know anybody over there or whatever. I just have it on really good authority, and it's up to you if you want to take that information. Maybe you trust that person, but it's really easy to kind of skirt around all these things.
I mean, you know, just you pay attention to politics or have conversations with people. People see things differently. I just had a coach from across the country a couple of weeks ago calling me, left me a message, texted me about one of our players in the portal. And, you know, I appreciate it. He's reaching out. He wants to make sure that the kid's a good kid and not going to get in trouble. And so I said, I just texted him, you have zero concerns. You see what you want to see on the film. Do your own evaluation, right? I'm sure you're calling me for a character reference. And I said, zero concerns. He's going to represent you on and off the field in every way that you would want. And the coach texts me back, well, I'd like to get a phone on the phone with you.
Hmm.
And so I had to literally text him back and tell him, that's not how I do business.
Hmm.
I'm not trying to help my player transfer to you other than a character reference. You know, I'm not a high school coach.
Now they're asking you
It's not my job to try to promote these guys. Once you're interested in them, I will definitely tell you, like, okay, you're getting a guy that doesn't always show up for practice, or you're getting the right kind of guy. And I'm telling you, this is the right kind of guy. But it was really interesting that, you know, the business side of football, it's still developing. You know, the fact that this guy thought that I would spend my time to get on the phone and somehow help him recruit this player, I'm like, I don't know what kind of options this player has.
That's
I don't
insane.
Want him to push him toward you, and I have no personal interest in getting him to your particular school. So it was weird.
That is wild to me. Weld County Swami texting, and what would Coach say is the number one reason players get into the portal? I get there's a lot of reasons, but if you had to average it out.
So I think I mentioned we've got the fewest number. So there are several reasons that players get into the portal. Coaches certainly will push or encourage players to go into the portal when the coach would like to replace that player. We don't do that on a talent basis, but we will do that for misbehavior or guys that just aren't keeping up their share of the bargain on or off the field. Then there are players that don't like where they're at on the depth chart, and that's another really common one. I think fans sometimes think that if a lot of players are in their portal, it's because they don't like the coach. I just haven't seen that very often. Coaches don't get position coaches, head coaches. You don't really get to the college level being an unlikable person. Like, we're professionals. That is our job, literally, to recruit, develop, mentor. We were in the business because somebody did that for us. I haven't come across players that are entering the portal because they don't like a coach. Now, they might not like the decisions about the depth chart, et cetera, the philosophy of the offense. You know, you're a receiver and they don't throw it enough, something like that. But it's very rarely, if ever, a personality conflict.
All right. So you kind of said, hey, it's the transfer portal that seems to be one of the biggest issues. Well, now the transfer portal is tied into NIL. What's just wild to me is it started out, when this first started out, was it 2020? We really got crazy with all this stuff, and then it was just bam. It wasn't supposed to be using NIL as a way to entice you to come to the school.
It's illegal.
It was supposed to be, you're here now, and this guy apparently wants to work with you and sponsor you and have you do some stuff. But then if it's illegal, why are we at this point where there is $4 million for Damon Williams? There's $4 million there for whatever it was reported that if he leaves, there's more. We've heard that even with prominent players around campus at UNC, where if this player leaves, there's $500,000 on the table if he goes there. How is that happening? And it's so right in our face when it's not supposed to happen.
I won't name names, but I had a player come to me right at the end of the season, a good player for us, and he said, you know, hey, coach, thank you for everything. I'm going FBS, and it's got to be now for getting paid. I need to help out my family. And I know what his PFF grade is. I know how he played on the field. Like, say, a good player with good potential, but I knew that he wasn't going to get that. And now he's made a lateral move with no money, no guarantee of a starting job. He's starting over on a depth chart. It's FOMO. So to fully answer the last poster's question, the third reason that people get in, and maybe it should be named first, is just FOMO. These kids are reading about a $4 million paycheck that the quarterback at Washington gets, and they think that that might be out there for them or something like that. And the reality is, If you're the fifth, sixth, seventh best position player, let's say linebacker, cornerback, whatever, in the Big Sky, okay, well, you know, the major colleges, they're looking at group of five. They're first looking at other Power Four kids and then group of five. By the time they get down to the sixth or seventh best linebacker or running back in the Big Sky, there's no money there. There's no opportunity there at a major college level. And the fact that kids think that, to me, is where the system's broken. We have to get them better information.
Yeah, it's just that is a huge part of it. And then when you hear so-and-so just sign, I mean, we're doing free agent trackers, essentially, on the big lettered networks of check out the it's basically free agency, which is just mind-blowing to me. Because schools have a salary cap of $20.5 million a year, but they're already well over that. But they have NIL money that they're promised to give to these guys. And that's where I go, I thought we weren't supposed to do that. I thought it was not pay for play, but you're here. You've already signed. You recruited them. They signed. They're in uniform, ready to go. And, oh, by the way, now they're going to work with an NIL person. It's the opposite way.
Yeah. The other way to fix this would be take the transfer portal out and just – everybody is by default available to transfer every year, and we can all contact everybody. That would fix all the miscommunication, and people wouldn't be lost in the desert. Because then at that point, as a coach, I would have to adapt. They're not going into the portal to transfer. They have free agency every year. I would love to see that. Now we would go and recruit our players back out of this, you know, reality of free agency. But right now, when a player tells me, look, I'm going in the transfer portal, I'm going to portal somewhere else, then what I say to them is, thank you. You're no longer right for this place. I respect your decision. Let me help you.
Wow. And so you're kind of saying, like, it might just be easier at the end of every year. Bam. Everybody's it's open season.
Let's go recruit everybody's players. Sure. Like, I'm down for the work.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. That would save a lot of people basically making that decision, because once I enter that portal, there's a lot of coaches like you that are more or less like, okay, you're done then.
Most all of our guys that have gone in the portal either wanted to come back or at the end of it all say, coach, I never should have left.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. How many guys that are really good at the Big Sky level, like you said, they go out and they get lost? I mean, there are tons of, I don't remember the number right off the top of my head, of guys entering the portal. And then there's a very large number of guys that have yet to sign on a football team.
Let's take Braden Monroe and Carver Cheeks, because I think they've already kind of put it out there where they're going. Kennesaw State and UTEP, Carver to UTEP. You know, the second or third receiver at Kennesaw State and UTEP, they're not going to a pro camp, but the first receiver at UNC will. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's kind of what I would love for these guys to have, that type of information, to have some free agency so that I can recruit them. Okay, yeah, now you're in your free agency period. Let's look for something amazing for you. But here's what we have planned for you here at UNC. But the way it's set up right now is they have to come to me and say, I'm going into the transfer portal. I'm moving away from UNC. And that's a different dynamic. And so I've got to hold tight on my opinion of, well, you know, at that point, you know, the guys who aren't going into the portal, they're forming a team and a bond, and you're no longer part of that. And that's totally your right. No hard feelings, but it's not right to take you back out of that portal. We're not doing that.
Wow. 31 minutes after the hour, great conversation with UNC head coach Ed Lamb. We'll take a short break here. On the whole show, let's turn the page. Let's talk some Broncos Patriots this weekend. Broncos are one win away from getting to that Super Bowl, but big problem, they're without their starting quarterback. We'll talk about that coming up next.
For Nuggets, games, and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, 35 minutes after the hour, Ed Lamb has been with us all day today. Man, you're making it through. We are less than half an hour away, and you've done 3 hours of radio with me, my friend.
This goes quick. I mean, we put in really long days. So, you know, I had the morning lift. I was over on campus. We had our recruiting meeting with the staff. I came over. I feel like this has just been a lunch break almost. We're going to be done soon.
It flies by, really, when you have good conversations. It makes it even better. So how are you feeling about the Broncos' chances this weekend against the Patriots? Obviously delivered a big blow with the Bo Nix news.
So the defense is going to keep the Broncos in every game. They can match up. They can play man-to-man coverage. They sprinkle in enough to not be overly predictable. And so you know they're going to be there regardless of who the quarterback is. I really think that a more mobile quarterback would give them the best chance to have some continuity in the plays that have been working. So that is my concern. I almost would like to see them go directly to the third quarterback.
Well, and you're kind of you're liking Sam Ehlinger, who
I
think there were people in the preseason that kind of got excited about him, and maybe he had some opportunities to go elsewhere and compete for a second string job somewhere, but he wanted to stay in Denver. And you kind of like you would like to see more from that guy.
Well, you just got to understand that you probably do. I don't mean to say it that way. The point I'm trying to make is that everybody from the tackles to the guards to the running back, the receivers, they've all been having a certain level of success that have got them this far with a very specific rhythm and timing from the quarterback. The quarterback affects every play. The timing, the rhythm, the way he stays in the pocket, doesn't stay in the pocket. To change from one style of quarterback to another affects every player on that field, every player on the Broncos offense. And I think the more continuity that you can have, if possible, and Ehlinger is a good, competent quarterback who can run the football, I think he gives him the best chance to win.
Yeah, he ran for almost 2,000 yards in college when he was with Texas.
Right.
So that one I haven't heard before, but that's fascinating because that would keep them, you know, more in line of you know, kind of what they were doing with Bo throughout the course of the season.
Right, the players. You know, it's kind of like use an analogy. So, like, for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
When the big man goes out, so he's the closest thing I've ever seen to Magic Johnson. Play all five positions. He just plays wherever he wants to play, right?
Yeah.
Those two players, that's the most alike that I've ever seen, Magic Johnson and him. Well, when Magic went out of the game, they didn't lose, like, one position. When Joker goes out of a game, they don't lose one position, so they can keep rolling, right? When you lose a quarterback and you go from one style to another, that's ridiculously difficult to try to get back some rhythm on offense. So I think you would want to try to keep as much as possible the rhythm and the timing if you have a quarterback that can get it done. That's just my take for the game.
So if you were advising Sean Payton, you'd be like, man, you maybe jumped the gun and did the whole Jared Stidham thing here.
I'm imagining somebody recording this, sending it to Sean Payton, and then him going, you're like, what are you, like 5-30 at UNC? Like, get out of here.
But you have your own you have Football 52, the podcast, coach. I mean, he should be listening to you.
Football 52 podcast. I think he and I have the same number. I think I have more championships won. I mean,
I think
I've got some credibility
got
here,
some
too.
Credibility, yes. Sean loves when media members, you know, like to ask him questions. He like, just lights in him. Some guy asked him about a linebacker, Dre Greenlaw, last week. Hey, are you excited to get him back in the game where he can really go downhill and do all this? And Sean Payton calls him out. He's like, you don't even know what that means.
So I got the chance to visit with Sean.
Did you really?
Once. Yeah, when he was with New York Giants, I had a close friend who coached defense there, Dwayne Walker, and so he set me up, and I was able to do a week with the New York Giants. It was fantastic. And Sean Payton and I have the same agent, and Sean was very personable. Came right to me and said, "Hey, this was a long time ago when Sean Payton was with the Giants. Obviously, 20 years ago or more."
Yeah.
He came right up to me, found me on the practice field. "Hey, Ed, I heard about you from Don. I just wanted to say hi. He has really good things to say about you. You know, keep going in the business. Glad you're here. Anything you need, that kind of deal." Very personable. And then I watched him interact. I think he's misunderstood, and I don't think he was going after that reporter. I think he was trying to kind of, like, joke with him,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and be funny, and it doesn't come across that way. It didn't come across that way, but I think that's just him. And some of that, like, John Gruden like type of personality where you're like really, you know, you're serious about football and you're going to debate the virtues of what of the comment being made about football and it's not personal. I think that's my take on it.
And then you know what? Yeah. I'll be real honest. I did go off on a tangent thinking Sean Payton was a jerk, but there was a part of my brain that was like, I wonder if he wants more of that. You know, he likes that. You know, I'm going to give this to you. You give it right back to me, man.
I think he would handle that absolutely like a pro. If the reporter would have given it right back and said, actually, I do know. I was all conference as a junior varsity football player in high school. I know how to come downhill, baby.
Well, and there was another one with that same reporter. His name's Luca Evans. He's for the Denver Post. And it was when he had asked a question, and Sean was really mad at him. And Sean, so it's Luca Evans, and Sean goes, Evan. And then he goes on to make his point, and the reporter just pipes in and goes, my name is Luca, by the way. And Sean goes, great. And I just, that is one of my favorite interactions ever. Just like, whatever, I don't care what your name is. You were wrong, and I'm right. Yeah. But you're kind of right. Like, he might want that, you know, that Howard Cosell, Muhammad Ali interaction where they're just, they're going back and forth with each other.
Yeah, and it was a long time ago, and I don't have a ton of interaction or a personal relationship with Coach Payton. But that's my impression is that anything that comes across that way is just talking ball.
Does it ever annoy you when you get reporters, I don't know, maybe even me, but random reporters that you know didn't play college football and they ask you questions and they start calling you out on stuff? Does it ever bother you?
The only thing that bothers me is when people don't acknowledge that their suggestions or their criticism is just basically a version of this comment right here. Hey, coach. You know, during such and such time left in the game, you did the thing that didn't work. Why didn't you do the thing that would have worked?
Yeah.
If the question could kind of be boiled down to that, that is infuriating because, like, I literally have to say, you've even heard me say it before. Okay, yeah, like, that didn't work. It has worked before, and it will work again, but it didn't work in that situation, so I was wrong. I would have liked to do something different, you know. But it's just so, like, it's so predictable.
When that day comes, when it does come, when the thing doesn't work, that will be my first question. I will write it in. 42 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break, Michael, and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
All right, welcome back in. Just a few minutes left here, Coach. You're about. What's next for you? What's next on the agenda today?
Well, we've got players in all day weight sessions, so I'll go in and check in on some weight sessions. And there are always players that you know. Like I've got a bunch of texts here from players and coaches, and so on. And we're in the thick of recruiting, so I'll be nonstop. I'll walk into my office, and it'll be a nonstop flow of people in and out. Including administrators, you know, we're working on game marketing and scheduling and budget concerns. There are a lot of things to discuss.
So this was this today was really kind of a giant waste of time for you.
No,
wasn't it?
I believe Harbaugh taught me this: 3 fights every day. He would preach it to the whole team. I think it came from Jack Harbaugh, his dad, John and Jim's dad, but it was a fatigue. Division from within and public perception, and we are tackling that right now. I feel like I'm doing my job right now. Obviously, if I did 3 hours a day with you every day, your show would probably be canceled.
No, I think it would be fantastic.
But the other thing is I just wouldn't be doing my job. But I think you know for the amount of time that I can get into the studio and share some intentions about the way we're trying to build our program and maybe. Share my personality and that could lead to some recruiting or gaining fans or something like that. If I can successfully do that, then it's a job well done.
Well, we'll be back at it we'll resume Football 52. And I did tell the story on the air. If my phone will cooperate, I wake up and I look over, phone's dead, turn it on, and I see a text from Coach Ed Lamb. Are you okay, man? Yeah, this is tough. My wife came in. She's like, don't you do the podcast thing? Aren't you? Because normally I'm up early. I'm a 4 a.m. guy. But in this case, I was a 7:23 guy.
Didn't work out.
And I found out what happened, too. The phone was like somewhat charged and maybe didn't take a charge. And then it did the update. woke up and it was just doing the loading thing. That's what was going on. So the alarms didn't go off.
Hey, you don't work for me, man.
Excuses.
No reason to explain your life.
If I would have been working for you, I would have been in trouble as a coach, or I'd have been running laps until I'm sick probably.
Everybody
right?
gets one.
Yeah. Well, we both kind of had a couple of
yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
We get a few of those. 49 minutes after the hour. What did we learn coming up next, Coach? It's a very, very big segment coming up. So be prepared for that one, okay?
Okay.
It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Defense carry the Broncos all the way, or will someone else rise to the occasion? Hear Broncos games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 20th day of January? Well, we got to learn a little bit more about head coach of the UNC Bears, Ed Lamb, and Coach got to learn Michael's real name. Don't say it on the air, but you got to learn his real name today.
Relearn it.
You relearned it. Yeah. And what else? What else did you learn today, Coach?
Well, this is my first time doing this this type of segment, the whole show. It's my first time being on the whole show.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see how it works. And I kept thinking that I was messing it up, but...
Oh, no. We messed it up years and years and years, especially the last 6 months. It just seems like it's gotten worse. I don't know what it is exactly. Can't put my finger on it.
You don't do much traffic. Uh-huh. You know, I'm on with Tanner in the morning. He does a lot of traffic stuff.
I say good luck to you out there.
Yeah.
You figure it out. You know, find an alternate route.
Yeah, I guess there's not a lot of traffic during the day, but I have a feeling that even if there was, you wouldn't really go that way.
You hear how I get distracted easily, man. I mean, we talk for 30 minutes, and I'm like, crap, we've blown the clock again. It's supposed to be the producer's job to keep us on track, but
I feel like, in Michael's defense, I think he came in with some information about traffic, and you just kind of circle-filed it.
Yeah, Michael, what's that traffic update real quick, Mike?
Well, that was like 2 hours ago.
All right. Well, 2 hours ago, there was a traffic update, and we missed it.
He tried.
Yeah, he did try. He did actually read me some traffic, but we missed it. Coach, honor to have you in here, man. And we can't wait. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning for Football 52. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Me too.
That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.